The JT The Brick Show. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT The Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you. Hope you're having a great day today. Man, I got a lot to talk about here. Thanks for listening to the Must Listen Monologue. Brought to you by Golden Entertainment. PTs, they fuel the monologue. Golden has their big golf tournament, which is one of my favorite events of the year, but I got to be here because it's Chiefs week. Yes, the Chiefs, they'll be a part of that also. PTs fuels the monologue 5 to 7 at midnight to 2. It's obviously the best happy hour in town, and we live in Vegas. So what's great about Vegas is we don't shut the bars. I'm going to L.A. to the World Series on Friday night. They shut the bars in L.A. at 1:15, and I always said, why are you shutting the bars at 1:15? You shut them at 4 in New York, and you don't shut them in Vegas. And if you shut them at 1:15, the big bouncers come up to you at like 12:50. And you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave the bar at 12:50. It's early. And the bartender goes, no, you got to go to the front of the bar. Why? Well, we're closing. No, you're not. You close at 2. No, they close at 1:15. Now, there's some underground clubs in L.A., and there's some other crazy places. Can you imagine the revenue that Los Angeles, you know, don't get me into California politics, please. One of the reasons I'm out here in Vegas, you know the amount of revenue that they could make in Southern California keeping the bars open from 2 a.m. to 4? Do you understand how many billions in doing that? But, hey, we don't want anybody drinking and driving late. We want everybody to take a ride share. But I digress because I'm going to L.A. I'm going to L.A. and I'm one of the only people on Earth, and that includes China. Who has more population? It's China than India, correct? I got that right. It's China than India, I believe. I don't know the population of Africa. I think we're in the 300-plus million range here in America. But I think there's probably how many people are going to World Series Game 1 and going to see the world champion Chiefs live and Raiders on Sunday? Me. So you think I'm going to be miserable? You think I'm going to be angry this week? You think I'm going to walk around like a mope? Like a mope and be all upset? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to embrace what's happening in my life this week because I'm going to the World Series and there's a chance to get after the Chiefs. And let's get that in here as we begin the show. Let's get the Chiefs in Tuesday. Normally I bring in the opponent on Wednesday because I interview the coach on Wednesday. A lot of homework tonight. You know, I get 10 minutes with Antonio Pierce every Wednesday. What an honor. And I had 10 minutes with Josh McDaniels, Rich Bisacci, and John Gruden. All of them in a row. I repeat, we moved to Vegas 5 years ago. John Gruden, Rich Bisacci, Josh McDaniels, now Antonio Pierce. I find that a high honor. How lucky am I, right? And it's the home team interview. It's the interview for the television show and the home team. So we don't throw pitchforks and we don't drop profanity at the coach and the coach doesn't yell at me. Sorry for all the fans that want that, that want that. It doesn't happen, but we ask everything. Like, why are you turning the ball over so much? Why'd you go for it? And why'd you kick a field goal instead of go for it on fourth down? We get all that in. You just might not like the tone of it because it's civil. Right now, we're not civil in the Raider Nation. There's no civility in the Raider Nation. Everybody's angry. Everybody's pointing fingers. Everybody's angry. Everybody's mad. The paying customer, like myself, at Allegiant Stadium, the fans who are diehard and can't get to the game, and everybody in between. You're all upset. I'm aware of that. And I have to do and come in here, and I love coming in here, to try to give you a break for 2 hours, give you some content, talk to some football players, some Hall of Famers, some other people, take your phone calls, give you a little bit of a break for 2 hours a day. I hope you enjoy it. And then we move on and we see if they can win or lose. So I was thinking about this today. How great would it be if the Raiders beat the Chiefs? You're not hearing me say get back into the season. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about one game. The Raiders are the last team to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Since then, Kansas City hasn't lost. Which is shocking to me because they're not playing very well. They got injuries. They got a lot of injuries with their speed, offensive players. The Raiders' defense is pretty good. They keep them in every game. I mean, the only chance the Raiders have to win is their defense as of now. You'd be nuts to think the offense is going to win a game. But as I was talking to someone today, they said, man, if the Raiders can get 20 points on offense, I said, how many? 20. I said, round it up to 21. The Raiders can be in the game because the defense is pretty good. A lot of playmakers on that defense. Robert Spillane's having a Pro Bowl year. Jack Jones is not helping us a bunch this year, but he can make a play. He's healthy. There's some good guys. Jacorian Bennett, I think you all agree, Jacorian Bennett can play. I think we found someone for the future in Jacorian Bennett, number zero. Max Crosby's going to play in the game. He hates the Chiefs. He don't like the Chiefs at all. So there's some good. Now, I wish we had Malcolm Kuntz and Christian Wilkins and Marcus Epps, but they're missing guys too. They're missing a lot of guys. So as I look at this, how great would it be if the Raiders won the game? They're a double-digit underdog at home. You don't think they're going to win. I'd like them to win. It doesn't matter if I think they're going to. I don't predict games, but I'd like them to win. And as I told our YouTube audience at JT the Brick YT, I know at least three people who want to beat the Chiefs badly and desperately. Three. I know three people who desperately want to beat the Chiefs. Antonio Pierce, Max Crosby, and JT the Brick in the third person. I know those three who I talk to Max and text Max a lot. I'm interviewing the coach, and I know me. I know who I am. Like me or not, you know I want to win the game. So that's three. And now how many are we going to get after that? How many other people want to beat the Chiefs and do their job? I do. Because I'm going to be in my seats. My wife's going to be in my seats. My son's going to be in the seats. I don't want to be sitting in the Twitch lounge at halftime with everybody coming up to me. Hey, Brick, man, what's going on with us? I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not there to talk to you during halftime about you moping around. I don't hang around with mopers. I'm hanging around with people who are positive. Okay? So let's try to win the game. It's a football game. We beat Baltimore. Right? Beat Baltimore. The greatest 12 minutes in the NFL this year, the greatest final 12 minutes were won by the Las Vegas Raiders in Baltimore. Holy cow, did you see Baltimore last night? Oh, my God. That was one of the greatest performances I've ever seen by a quarterback. 5 touchdowns, running and throwing. Oh, he's back as the MVP. I thought it was Goff. No, it's not. It's not Goff. It could be Goff. But Lamar Jackson, can you imagine if Lamar Jackson wins his third MVP? It's not going to be Mahomes. Mahomes ain't having an MVP year at all, but he's winning games. Remember, the MVP award is not about wins and losses. It's not. It's an individual award for the guy who has the best stats or the gal in the WNBA. You don't have to win a certain amount of games to qualify. You don't have to lose a certain amount of games. Ernie Banks won the MVP on a last place team. The MVP is an individual award based on stats. Baseball, it's home runs, RBIs. That's it, an average. Football, it's usually the quarterback, it's touchdowns and yards. That's it. That's why I believe Matt Ryan, Philip Rivers, and Eli Manning will all go to the Hall of Fame. Touchdown and yards. Eli won 2 Super Bowls. Matt Ryan and Philip Rivers have not, but they have the touchdowns and yards to go there. So we're playing Mahomes in a non-MVP year with a lot of guys hurt. I mean, go around. I got the list. I'll give it to you in a bit. And the Raiders have been a mash unit, but they got an opportunity to win the game. Most people say they won't. Most people know that they can't win. They're a double-digit underdog. Get me to halftime. Get me to halftime, 17-14. Here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you great knowledge of the Chiefs because there's no one on radio who knows the Raiders Chiefs better than me. Nobody's close. Because remember the coaches that I told you I interviewed? And long before that, exclusive with Jack Del Rio, Dennis Allen, Norv Turner, Art Shell, all sat down with me. And I can tell you, every time in the modern era, we'll just go to Mahomes. Just go to Mahomes. Not Gannon, not Elvis Gerback. We'll just start with Mahomes. Every time I talk about this game, I talk about, say it with me, misdirection. Thank you, Bobby. Misdirection. I am the professor of misdirection of the Raider Nation. Let me take you to class. Misdirection is Mahomes starts a play one way. Okay, follow me here. You get to class. The play starts going one way. Then it stops. And it goes the other way. Misdirection. And the Raiders have been disastrous covering the misdirection. But last year, they did an amazing job. They scored twice in 7 seconds. They put Mahomes on his ass. They played well. Interceptions, they did it. Because they understood what Coach told me last week against Stafford, and he was right. More credit to Antonio Pierce, the eye candy. the eye candy where your eyes are telling you, oh, my God, my eyes are telling me their speedster wide receiver worthy is going to run a bomb. No, he's not. What he's going to do is he's going to run a stop and go. And you'll get, your eyes are going to get tricked. And then Mahomes is going to look like he's rolling to the right, but he's really going to roll back to his left across his body, and then he's going to flip an underhand. Eye candy. So Professor JT is going to teach you again about misdirection. You're going to see it if you're at the game. You're going to see it on TV, and you're going to say, man, I remember JT on the pregame show, on his talk show, and on the postgame show talked about misdirection. That's all this game is. That's all it is. You can guard Kelce. He's just got older. He's dating the Swiftie. He's not getting better, Kelce. He's a very good player. He's not getting better. He's not running. He's not supposed to run by everybody. Remember he had the four touchdowns a couple of years ago and only 25 yards? They're all in the red zone. You know, they're running backs. Everything they have there, they shouldn't boat race the Raiders on offense. The Raiders' defense is good enough to play. So that should be something we should all be able to talk about. Now, the question is, no one that I know outside the building, Raiders headquarters, believes that they can score a bleeping point. Nobody I know in Raider Nation, friends of mine, good friends, season ticket holders, guys we have up on the torch, nobody believes they can score a point. Who's the quarterback? Right? We bring in another journeyman, Minshew. You're going to let him play again? All right. But can one of these guys play well? As I talked to a Raider legend earlier today, and he said to me, he goes, it's interesting, man. Garoppolo and Minshew are pretty good players. They're not great, but they're pretty good. Why'd they play worse when they came to the Raiders? I don't know. Is it the offensive line? Is it the coaching? Is it the offensive coordinator? I don't know. I know it's not Vegas and the strip clubs. I know they're not out the nightclubs. My buddies run the nightclubs. They're not saying Gardner Minshew's out in the upper deck of a nightclub at Hakkasan till 3 in the morning. So what is it? How come we can't run an offense? And then I heard something really sharp, too. You know, our best player by far this year, not even close. Well, you got Max. You put Max on a different island. But it's Brock Bowers. But as I talked to this legend, he said, he's not hurting anybody. I go, what do you mean? He's not hurting anybody. He's catching the ball. They're not throwing to him in the red zone. I'm like, you're right. I've been talking about that. Yeah, he said, because I listened to you, and I know what you've been talking about. You're right. They don't throw the ball to Brock Bowers when it matters. At the four-yard line. At the four-yard line, I would have thrown three fades to Brock. But I also would have thrown three fades to Darren Waller in Cincinnati on first and nine, first and goal at the nine. And Carr, I would have thrown three fades to Waller, just high point fades, NBA stuff. Same thing with Brock. But they don't listen to me. They want to hand it off, and they do hand it off. You go crazy. You go nuts. You say, oh, they're handing the ball off. Well, I got other guys who are saying first and goal at the four, hand the ball off. We got guys jumping off sides. Woo! Man, I'm rolling. So how do we beat the Chiefs? Let me give you the formula. Study misdirection. Study misdirection. When the play starts to the right, please stay back. Tyree Wilson, can you do me a favor? I'm talking to you, Tyree Wilson. Can you secure the edge? If you're not going to get to the quarterback ever, like almost ever, can you just stand up on the edge? So if Mahomes tricks everybody and runs your way, he kind of runs into you. Okay? And here's the big one. Drum roll, please, if we had it. Put your hands on Kelce. Oh, my God, it's JT 101. Put your hands on Kelce. I mean, raise your hand and beep your horn if you're Raider Nation and you'd love to put your hands on Kelce. Not in a bar, not at a golf course, but if you can imagine yourself playing football and coach said, you got Kelce, and assuming you're tough because you're in the NFL, you're a tough guy, wouldn't you want to put your hands on Travis Kelce and knock his ass? Knock his nose in the dirt. Wouldn't you want to do that? For 30 minutes or 26 minutes a game, you take out the huddles and the clock that's always ticking against the Raiders. Maybe for 12 minutes, once a year at Allegiant Stadium, put your hands on Kelce and get him off his route and help your safeties behind you instead of letting Kelce run like a doe in the forest. Just run around, do whatever he wants. So that's it. You know, I got some unbelievable people. I'm very protective of my language on terrestrial radio and satellite radio. But I got people here on my chat saying, we can't win. We can't win. And they claim to be Raider fans. So they take time out of their day to infiltrate my show on YouTube. And they're saying, as Raider fans, we can't win. That's what I got to deal with. And I got to roll over them, man. I got to just steamroll them and remind you that you can win. People say probably not, but everybody said no at Baltimore. Everyone, every single pregame show said Ravens, 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 and the Raiders won. But it would take a Herculean effort to win this game. But I think I gave you a pretty good rundown, right, of how to do it. Misdirection, put your hands on Kelsey, right? Turn the ball over, something they don't do. Don't turn it over, something they do more than everybody. So is that critical enough for everybody? Or am I too easy on the owner and the coach and everybody? Am I too light on them? You got to go win the game. You got to go win the game. Everybody who works for the Raiders and everybody in that locker room is showing up to the game to win it, not to tank. It's one of the most frustrating topics in sports. When you have so-called fans who are loyal and passionate and they want to lose before the bye week because they think of this mystical draft pick, some mystical college kid that we don't even know. Chris Godwin blew out his ankle last night. One of the best receivers in the league. Christian McCaffrey might never play again. You want Christian McCaffrey in the next draft? Christian McCaffrey doesn't play anymore. Might not again for his Achilles. Right? Everybody's heard. Aiden Hutchinson. Great draft pick. Unbelievable player. Out for the year. And you want me to sit here? You want me to sit here and dive into a depth chart of a potential quarterback that we don't even know who exists? Well, I just think you got to go out and try to win the game. And go out there and really go out and try to play physical, which the Raiders do. You know, I've been hard on Jack Jones. I don't think Jack Jones is tackling well. I don't think that Jack Jones tackles at the level he should. I don't know why. I think it's because he's a ball hawk. I think he likes picking off the football, and he's not putting his helmet in the pile. All right, so we checked off Jack Jones. He's a starter. He's a good player. Maybe he has a great game. Maybe he has a great game. You know who had a great game? Nate Hobbs. Nate Hobbs really important in this game because he can line up near the line of scrimmage and get to Mahomes. I just gave you Nate Hobbs. Right? So if you look at what the Raiders have to do, they're facing the two-time world champs going for a three-peat in our building where they won the Super Bowl. Oh, don't remind me. And we're the last team to beat them. And if we beat them this time at home, I mean, it'll make headlines like you wouldn't believe. It wouldn't save the season. I wouldn't say it would put them in the playoffs. I'm not going there. But it would be the greatest opportunity for news, excitement, joy, happiness, jobs that we can talk about. So why don't we have fun and talk about that instead of just saying they're not going to show up and they're going to lose? I don't do that. You didn't tune in to me to hear that. If you do, get the hell out of here. I'm here to win every game, every possession, win every possession, every game. So maybe I connect with a few callers this week, a few guests that are like, yeah, they're probably not going to win, but you're right about that. Maybe they can win because they beat Baltimore. They shortened the game. They got to halftime. They recovered a fumble on a punt on the four-yard line and scored right after that to Brock. Maybe they threw it to Brock in the end zone. No way. Maybe they throw it to Brock in the end zone. But hope they would. Maybe they run a jet sweep. How come Zay Flowers is getting jet sweeps and Trey Tucker isn't? Why did I watch the Baltimore game last night and everything just looked pretty? Why can't this team look pretty with the backups and some of the other guys? Run the plays that you're running in Henderson today. Well, it's an off day today. Run the plays the rest of the week in Henderson and just run them over and over and over again. Don't run the other plays. How about that? How about that for advice? How about what are the plays we don't have to run anymore in Henderson? We don't have to run the two-yard run up the middle anymore. We don't have to run that. You know you're going to do it. And you have the right to do it, and you should do it because you want to run the football. But you don't have to practice that. We know Alexander Mattison, 7 yards deep, is going to get a handoff up the middle. Right? It happens every game. Don't practice that this week. Because you're not practicing anyway because it's not padded, most likely, and you got too many guys who are hurt. So just draw it up on the board. Alexander Mattison, we're going to hand it off up the middle to you a few times, but we're not going to practice it. What else are we not going to practice this week? Oh, how about we throw the deep ball in practice? Whoever we decide to play quarterback, how about we get we leave Mattison into block and we put Brock in motion for some eye candy, and then we throw a couple of bombs to Trey Tucker. Do we not throw bombs to Trey Tucker? Did we draft him for what? We drafted him to throw him a few bombs, right? So let's throw him a couple bombs. And then the most important thing you do at practice all week, the most important thing is you go goal line offense, and you run the whole bleeping organization through Brock Bowers. That's what you do. You just do goal line, 5 yards to 9 yards to 2 yards, and you just run every bleeping play you can draw up. You call Dave Casper. You call Fred Biletnikoff. You call Raymond Chester. And you say, hey, you guys got to play for Brock. And you just run that play over and over and over again. You hope you get down there. Because I think the Raiders will get down there. I think they will get down there. And I think they'll have the opportunity to score. It's a hell of a monologue. Hell of a monologue. I've been waiting around all day. My wife said, get out of the house. You're too excited. Get to work. Go do your monologue. And that's what I'm doing. So let's hear from you. Not one person on hold. Not one. Just me, anchoring the Raider Nation. We don't need any calls. I can do this for 2 hours. But again, I'm holding the fort down. I am the guardian of the gate. I'm trying to get this team to win a game because I think they can. And if they do, it brings me. Can you imagine me going to the World? I'm going to the World Series Friday night. If the Yankees win and then the Raiders beat the Chiefs, that would be my ultimate bucket list weekend ever, as in ever. And I've been to World Series victories and Super Bowls. If the Yankees can win and Judge hits a home run and I come back and someone knocks Mahomes out and the ball goes flying and the Raiders end up winning, man, at least I can believe. At least I can believe that that can happen. 702-365-9200. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox next hour. Kirk Morrison, former Raider linebacker. We'll have him on the show. And then Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate, the odds of this game. I want to know what the odds are moving on this game. I want to find out college football odds. You know, UNLV plays Boise State. I have a vested interest for a friend with the Boise State running back. I don't root against UNLV, but I'm not in the UNLV homer, you know, club. I like UNLV a lot. A lot of my friends are pretty big guys over at UNLV, but I spend most of my time on the Raiders. Bobby and I got to get into the Golden Knights quickly. Got to stop the bleeding, short-term bleeding, and get going tonight. So we'll get that going. But I'm mostly about the World Series this week, everybody. It's the World Series and the Chiefs-Raiders. If that interests you, it should. Give me a call, 702-365-9200. We wrap up the monologue with Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's Handmade Vodka, the original handmade vodka, my go-to. Have a Tito's on the rocks, a Tito's soda. Maybe you're one of the guys that like a Tito's cranberry. Whatever you like, make Tito's your go-to vodka. Let's get fired up here and go win a game against a team we want to beat more than anybody.
McNeil goes for second. Alvarez swings. A bouncer to second. Taylor has it in the glove. It's over! It's over! The Dodgers win the pennant!
Yeah, crank up the Rush. Seen Rush 54 times. No one ever in the history of radio can say that but me. Hey, you play my music this week. Get me excited. Yankees, Dodgers, final call on Dodgers Radio. A lot of Raider fans. That's an interesting question. I think there are. I'd love to get a call on this. How many Raider fans are Dodger fans? A lot of Raider fans I know are A's fans, but the A's are going out of business every time I look. And then I know a lot of Raider fans don't like the Giants. Ooh, I know that. I know that a lot. And Raider fans for baseball, I know Raider Nation. Raider Nation in Los Angeles are big Dodger fans from the years of being there. So I had a buddy of mine who, a really good friend of mine I went to college with. He's in Florence, Italy for his birthday with his wife. And he said there was 1,500 Yankee hats and one Dodger hat. He says all of Europe, all there in Italy, all Yankee fans. So we have the evil empire, the Yankees, who bought their way to World Series. Yeah, sure, sort of the Dodgers. The Yankees won a lot of their World Series back in the day. You know that Yogi Berra won 10 World Series, won them. Right, so 10 for him, Mantle, DiMaggio. But it all counted. You know, a Yankee World Series in 1952 matters the same as 2024. You don't get extra points for doing it in 2024. They all matter. They all count. The Yankees have 27, and they've been stuck on 27 for a long period of time. Also, the Yankees have won 8 out of the 11 World Series against the Dodgers. Mostly back in the day. The Dodgers in 81, the Yankees, what they were able to do, 77, Reggie Jackson. Really fun. Friday you'll hear Reggie Jackson. Reggie called into my show last night at Wynn on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Had a great, deep conversation with Reggie. I'm going to play that on Friday. A little bit of our best of and me be heading out to L.A. So that'll, I think you're really going to enjoy that. Reggie Jackson, who had a lot of cool things to say about Mark Davis. You know, Reggie's at most Raider home games. Mark has him in. He sits with Mark. Now, Reggie Jackson, because of Reggie's connection to Mr. Davis and Mrs. Davis there. So that's going to be really interesting to see. So we're going to have that. And then for college football, UNLV is going up against Boise State. Boise State, Ashton Jeanty is the front runner to win the Heisman. And I'll tell you this. I'll look it up. If, Bobby, maybe you can look it up on Google. I was at the Marshall Faulk game at San Diego State. I think he had 230 yards. I think I'm right. It might have been 240. Marshall Faulk, San Diego State, 200. I was at that game, and it was life-changing. Never seen a game like that. I wasn't around for an Earl Campbell game at Texas or Tony Dorsett at Pitt or Marcus Allen in L.A., you know, winning the Heisman. But I did see a game like that. You got an opportunity to see the best running back, period, in America who can win the Heisman Trophy. That's exciting. The Liberty won the WNBA title, so that brings to an end the possibility for the three-peat for the Aces. They had a hell of a run. I'm sure they're going to reload, absolutely reload, and try to go back again. And then we got the Golden Knights, as Bobby said tonight. But I'm hoping for a classic, absolute classic World Series starting Friday night at Chavez Ravine. I'm going out Friday, coming back Saturday. We got an event in town, a Raider event in town on Saturday night before Kansas City. And then Kansas City comes in on Sunday, and they'll be here before that. And then I think there's going to be a lot of Chief fans that are here, just like Pittsburgh fans and Cleveland fans. You know, we did not have a good year when it comes to other teams coming here because the other teams coming here have massive fan bases. Atlanta doesn't. They're on our home schedule. The Jaguars don't have a big fan base, so they're not going to overrun the stadium. But you get Kansas City fans as they're going for a three-peat saying, hey, let's go to Vegas, and it ain't cheap. Like, I don't know what they make in Kansas City. I don't know what their business is. But those fans find a way. And we got to beat them. And if there's a chance to beat them, it'll be a lot of fun. They almost, I don't think they also have to play a perfect game. I don't think the Raiders have to play a perfect game because Kansas City hasn't been playing a perfect game. But the Raiders have to play a violent game because they did that in Kansas City on Christmas, the last team to win. It was a really big, physical, violent game. And then after that game, 99% of the Raider Nation wanted to hire Antonio Pierce. Everybody. It signs in the building. Everybody wanted Antonio Pierce after that game. And then we put 63 up on the Chargers. Do you all remember that? Beating Kansas City, franchise all-time record against the Chargers who lost last night. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention, Bobby. Last night, the Chargers lost on ESPN Plus. Well, I'm paying for all this stuff in my house, from groceries to gasoline to all these subscriptions from my sons. And my son came home last night. He came down to Wynn with me and videoed some of the show. And then we took two separate cards, and he came home, and I'm like, get this ESPN Plus on for me. And what a wizard these young kids are now, this generation. My son grabs his phone. Boom, 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 smart TV. I'm watching the Chargers. And Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray ended up winning that game, and that was pretty exciting to see. So the Chargers lose again. They got their problems. The Chargers do because Justin Herbert, who I think is really good. I'm a big believer in Justin Herbert, not as a winner, The team hasn't been that good. The team hasn't been great, but Herbert is the whole package. He's a great player who plays for a bad organization, and we'll see what Harbaugh is able to do. But I'm more of a Kyler Murray fan. You imagine if Kyler Murray was the quarterback for the Raiders? I mean, he went number one in the draft. You're not going to be able to get him. But Kyler Murray, remember when they were thinking about getting out of the Kyler Murray business? Where people were wondering if Lamar Jackson was going to be available? This Kyler Murray is something else. So Kyler Murray, on the long touchdown run, this is one of the most exciting plays of the year.
Back to throw off play action. Deep in the pocket, stepping up, moving left, taking off, running far side, 45-40. Gets past the defender at the 30. Far side, 20. He will walk in. 10-5, touchdown. Kyler Murray, a 44-yard touchdown run. As soon as he got past the defender, that was all she wrote.
So that's both Cardinals radio on the call. So down the stretch in the game, it was really interesting. Really interesting that they didn't want to play for the touchdown and win. They wanted to play for the field goal, which is probably the smart thing to do, right? They don't want to have an interception. They don't want to have a fumble. But I don't trust these kickers at all. I'm like, they're playing. Arizona is trailing the Chargers, and they're just laying down on the ball to kick a field goal. So I was wondering, I was saying, man, if this field goal doesn't go through, this is a disaster. Here's the game-winning field goal for Arizona.
A 32-yard field goal try by Chad Ryland to win the game. The Cardinals down 1, 2 seconds left. No timeouts remaining for the Chargers. Ryland is ready. Gillikin to hold. Snap. Ball down. The kick is up, and the kick is good. And the Cardinals win it 17-15.
So the Chargers lose. That's a good thing, right? Everybody agrees that's a pretty good thing. And the Raiders are only one game behind the Chargers, but the Raiders have lost three in a row. And if you're Jim Harbaugh, and Jim Harbaugh had a health problem. We hope he's okay. He had the fluttering heart. Seems like he's going to be fine, which is great. Jim Harbaugh's first ever job was with the Raiders, with Al Davis. So we wish him health, well, all of that. But, man, the Chargers are trying to run the ball instead of throw it. Remember, they don't have Mike Williams. They don't have Keenan Allen. So if you look at what they lost, they have Ladd McConkey now. So they don't have really a lot of weapons, and Justin Herbert basically just hands the ball off. So that's kind of interesting to me. If Herbert was a gunslinger like Elway, he's got talent like Elway, and they had a running back, they got some decent running backs, but if they had someone like Terrell Davis, Chargers could be a playoff or a Super Bowl contender. Any way you look at it, but Justin Herbert now is playing for Jim Harbaugh, and Jim Harbaugh wants to run the football. He doesn't want to throw it. Wow. Really, Jim? Really, Jim? You want to build your dynasty in L.A.? They're the 11th most important team in L.A. is the Chargers. And now they want to become a running team when they have Justin Herbert. Man, that's hard to watch. Murph in Buffalo. How are you, Murph? What's going on?
Hey, JT. I'm good. Rough Sunday for me. I'm over it, though. Mm-hmm. You know, my Mets went down finally. But that Dodgers team, I wish you luck, man. They're obviously stacked. You got three Hall of Famers, arguably. But, hey, we took out them Phillies, right? Hate them Phillies. As for the Raiders Sunday, that was definitely a disappointment. But defense held strong. To have a chance to win that game is a big surprise to me with those turnovers. You know, one for a TD. As for the offense, you know, Brock Bowers, that's one of the biggest bright spots, obviously. Mm-hmm.
It's a huge bright spot, yep.
But Minshew, all I can say is don't turn the ball over. Please, give us a shot. It's too bad on that interception. Hobbs didn't get in the end zone, but it was pathetic that the offense couldn't push it in.
Yeah, Hobbs got the ball. Hobbs got the ball, picked it off into the red zone, and then the Raiders can't score. Because they, remember, I'm telling you, Murph, they don't throw the ball in the end zone. I said that about McDaniels. I say it about everybody. I like Getsy. I think the world of the head coach. For whatever reason, they do not call plays in the end zone. And they only did it with Devontae, really. Devontae got a lot of looks in the end zone, fades and, you know, certain routes there. But they threw it to Brock in the end zone. He was tackled. He didn't get the flag. And then they threw it to Brock underneath, and he couldn't break a tackle. I would have ran that Brock route into the end zone, and I think I would have given him a 50-50 ball. I don't understand why they're worried about throwing 50-50 balls to Brock Bowers. I mean,
agreed.
Isn't it the most basic thing? It's like, Drop the ball down onto the block to Kareem. He's going to give you a sky hook. Throw a 50-50 ball to Brock and let Brock score some touchdowns. That's what he's here for.
That's right. I totally agree with you. And like you said in that one play, I was surprised he didn't get in on that little flare out. It was a heck of a defensive play, you know. But, like, get the guy the ball. You got to throw it up to him, like you said. I mean, what else are we supposed to do? Getsy has been doing all right with the offense, I think, play calling for them. You know, but hopefully this week with the Chiefs, that meanness does come out that we saw at the end of last year. And that's what I'm hoping for. I mean, that's the only thing that's going to – this could be a spark. It's KC, you know. That's all we're looking for.
You're the only guy. The only guy who's called me today is from Buffalo. From Buffalo, not Vegas, where we're playing the Chiefs, and there's supposed to be some Raider fans in Vegas. Maybe we're 3 years out. I don't know. We decided to put a radio station here. Guy's calling me from Buffalo, and he's excited about maybe the Raiders winning. So let's hear from everyone all over the world. Maybe that should be the show the rest of the week, Bobby. Only callers we take are the ones who think we can beat the Chiefs. So I'll know ahead of time if no one calls. I'll blame it on me. Maybe that's a good way to set up the show. That if you think the Raiders can beat the Chiefs like I do, and you want them to do, or more, let's make it clearer. If you'd like the Raiders to beat Kansas City and have an opinion on how they can do that, let us know. 702-365-9200. I'm not trying to be a wise ass. I'm just trying to run a radio show and talk Raiders. I don't want to talk Raiders every second when there's the World Series. And I got Lamar Jackson and all that, but my job, which I love doing, is Raiders content. And this week, we're playing the world champs on their way to a potential three-peat, and we're the only team to beat them in a long time. I don't think you have to get lucky, but you got to play great and beat them again.
You can say that because he got hurt. We don't second guess. We got our guys. We're playing everybody we got. It's unfortunate he got hurt. We feel bad about that. But he's a football player, and he wanted to be in the game, just like Baker and everybody else wanted to be in the game.
Don't you have an obligation to protect your players from themselves?
I do protect my players all the time. That has nothing to do with why we left them in the ball game. We still had a shot to score some points and win the ball game. It happened. It happens in football.
Todd Bowles had Chris Godwin in a game where he got hurt, dislocated his ankle, gone for the year when the game was over. Todd Bowles is trying to do onside kicks and all of this as we bring in Jeff Sherman, the VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate. Jeff, how did that game play out last night? I saw one of my buddies I was down with last night had a bet on Baker Mayfield with two touchdowns, and I'm like, man, that sounds good with Godwin and Evans, and then Edmonds and Godwin go out in that game, and Lamar Jackson had one of the best Monday night games I could remember.
Yeah, and, you know, especially after the favorites, a lot of them came in on Sunday. The public was on Baltimore and the over, so that game, not too good for the books, but good for the betting public.
All right, tell me about the Raiders hosting Kansas City. No one's given the Raiders a chance in hell. They covered against the Rams. So, two-part question. What did you think there behind the glass with your crew and everybody at the Westgate when Antonio Pierce decided to kick the field goal and not go for it?
Well, we thought it was a crazy decision if you're trying to win the game. But from the book standpoint, we really needed a Raiders cover, so it worked out very well for the book. We couldn't write any Raiders tickets. It was all Rams, -6.5, -7. So that was surprising, but it worked out well from behind the counter.
All right, so in theory-wise, and I know you know you take your gambling hat off for a second, and I will, but what is your just philosophy? And I'm just saying this from a non-gambling perspective, which you're great at. When a coach decides to kick the field goal and then use their timeouts, try to stop the clock and get a stop, I mean, it's very risky because Gardner Minshew really isn't good enough to go 80 or 90 yards the way they were playing that game.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you need to get the one stop there, and if you don't, you're going to lose the game. So you're basically going from down one touchdown to still down one touchdown. And with that few minutes left on the clock, you know, we just thought that he should go for it and you take the chance, especially with the record and needing to do something special at that point, not just playing conservative.
All right, where did you open the line, considering the Aiden O'Connell injury is not that much on a gambling perspective, but the Raiders looking maybe for a quarterback change or not, and Kansas City coming in undefeated. Where's the Raider line?
Yeah, we opened on Sunday. We opened the Chiefs -10.5 and got some sharp play on the Raiders, So it currently sits at Chiefs minus 10. But we know this, there's going to be tons of Chiefs money line, parlays, teasers. Everything's going to be tied to the Chiefs as an afternoon game there. So we're looking for some early Raider support right now from the sharp players.
Just before I get back to a couple of games I isolated here, any big changes in Super Bowl odds? I know Baltimore is storming back. It looks like Cincinnati is starting to get their act together, and the Niners look like they're going the opposite way. Any dramatic changes you can share with us?
Well, that's just it. The Niners, it's the first time they've reached double digits, so now they're sitting at 10-1. And Baltimore is at 6, and Detroit at 7, right behind Kansas City at 4. And in our discussions, we thought the power ratings of teams right now would be Baltimore, Detroit, then Kansas City. But we have a lot of Kansas City liability. They've been betting them all year, coming off their Super Bowl win last season. So hence the favorite role.
Where are the Vikings at coming off a loss as they are at the Rams? And I watched the Rams with the Raiders. They're not very good.
Yeah, we bumped them up to 14, and we were sitting at 10. The Vikings have seen a lot of support since they've had their great start to the season, so this is a little bit of an ease out on them.
And Packers? Packers look really good in their win, dramatic win over Houston. Where do you have Green Bay?
Yeah, they're sitting 16, which is pretty much the range they've been sitting most of the season.
And what's the verbiage here going forward with the Jets? And obviously now I think Jet fans are going to jump in with Devontae, do or die. Doesn't feel like the Jets can lose more than two more games and even have a chance here, and there's a lot of football left.
Yeah, no, the Jets, you know, they were 30-1 last week. Now they're 50-1. And, you know, they play at New England this week, laying 7, so that's a winnable game for them. Next week we just put up the line, and they play the Thursday night game at home against Houston, and we have them a small favorite, 1.5 there. So chance to win a couple games for them, get on the right track.
UNLV, Boise State, the Boise State running back's incredible. Any props on him or anything we can keep an eye on? And what's the number as Boise State comes to UNLV?
Yeah, we don't have any player props up yet, but tremendous handle in this game. We had opened Boise State minus 3 at UNLV, playing late game Friday night. Saw some sharp action up to minus 3.5, and then other sharp action just pulled it back down and took UNLV plus 3.5. So we're expecting probably one of the best-bet college football games of the weekend to be this Boise State-UNLV game.
Jeff Sherman, VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate. I recommend everybody go to the Westgate. It's the sharpest book in the world. Best book in Vegas. Take your friends and family there. NBA opening night. And I don't know how you do it with Embiid and Kawhi Leonard and injuries. The product is terrible. The NBA, I think, is the worst of all the four major sports when they start off. Players out of shape, not hitting shots. It's very difficult to handicap here as the Boston Celtics come back as reigning champs.
Yeah, that's how we put it. It is a challenge during the regular season. And we tip off with the two games tonight, Knicks at Celtics. We had opened the Celtics a 5-point favorite a few months ago. It's up to 6 now, and I can see the move on it because the Knicks have a few new pieces. Michael Bridges, Karl-Anthony Towns. Might take some time to get some chemistry going on that team, where the Celtics have continuity, having played together and won the title last year. So a little bit of move up on the Celtics. Timberwolves minus 1 at the Lakers tonight. No Bronny props for the game itself, but we do have Bronny James props for the whole season, which you can bet before the game tonight.
Season win total for the Lakers and championship odds?
We're sitting 43.5 on the Lakers season win total, which is a lot of fluctuation between 42.5, 43.5, 35-1 for the title, and a rare thing this year that we actually don't have early liability on the Lakers at this point, so not as much Lakers support yet.
And then the World Series. I'll be there game one. I'm heading out on Friday to see my Yankees here, and just tell me about World Series gambling in general and setting the line for World Series. The pitchers don't go deep anymore. The Yankees got Cole in game one. That's their best guy. They spent all their money on him. He's going to be coming off, what, 7-8 days of rest. He should be ready to go here. And then the odds to win the series.
Yeah, we couldn't have asked for a better matchup handle-wise. I mean, this is going to be tremendous. And expecting to see so much, we're using a 5-cent line on the game itself. So we have the Dodgers minus 120, Yankees plus 115. Normally it's 10-cent throughout the season. We're using 5-cent here. We're not expecting any game in the series to be much more than $1.40, so a pretty competitive series. For the series price, we have a 10-cent line. Dodgers minus 130, Yankees plus 120.
And the Zozo Championship. Tell me about that, because I was over here at TPC Summerlin, saw a little golf, but not a lineup like this. This looks like a much better field.
Yeah, I'm glad you can see it because I went out there Friday and they wouldn't let spectators in because of the wind, so I missed that day. I had to watch it at a bar, but now the PGA Tour heads over to Japan. Limited field, 78 golfers in the Zozo, but we see the return of Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, so we have Xander at 5-1, Colin at 7-1, local favorite Matsuyama at 8.5-1.
Thank you, Jeff. Always appreciate you.
All right, thanks, JT.
Jeff Sherman, VP of Risk Management. We do gambling on the show. Bill Krakenberger, Lee Sterling, who went 3-0 last week, Jeff Sherman. We just try to give you, because we're in Vegas here, a little bit of gaming, a little bit of gambling. A lot of sports radio gambling is brutal. It's brutal. And we don't want to be involved in the brutality of bad sports radio gambling where people are talking about, you know, Hawaii playing Fresno State for 15 minutes. Oh, my God, is there a programmer alive that can fix this? We talk about the hits, the big storylines. Man, Lakers, over or under this year. And, Bobby, your Celtics, you got to be pretty excited. Bobby, you're a diehard Celtic fan. They got you a title. You surpassed the Lakers. It's always hard to repeat. My Knicks, I think, are getting a lot better, and they're going to put up a fight, but I don't think you're worried about Philadelphia, and I don't think you're worried about Denver, so you got to be feeling pretty confident.
Well, all I know is they're hanging banner number 18 tonight,
wow.
And I'm recording the whole thing at my house. It's like a four-hour pregame coming up to this thing. I'm recording the whole thing.
Oh, you're right about that. It is banner night.
And I'll watch the whole thing after the Golden Knights game.
Good for you. Well, you got to get some sleep. You know, you can watch that. You can watch that at different times, too. That hour flew by, and we got a couple of good guests coming up here in the second hour of the show. So that's it for me with the Bricklayers on YouTube. JT the Brick YT is where you can find us. We get a good, vibrant crowd there. Everybody seems to be a little more behaved today. Everybody seems to be okay. A World Series coming up here. We'll have another show tomorrow here, working on a podcast with Tom Looney. JT and Looney is where you can download my podcast. And today, Tuesday, is my day of rest. Sunday, Monday is long. Tomorrow, oh, big update tomorrow, we're on Raiders YouTube for Raiders Rundown. So the first hour of the show, we do exclusively for the Raiders. And then the second hour will be on my YouTube channel and both hours on Raider Nation Radio.